Okay, so afternoon, everyone. Just say we are recording this webinar as we have the others, so we can then share it out across the wider network or to those that aren't able to get on today. This is one of a series of webinars that we've put on through this period, and we're very fortunate today to have Neil Bainton, a big fan of Essex cricket, but also a first-class umpire, to talk about his experience and his pathway and his journey. And then Paul Bryce, who is the chair of the Essex ATO, will talk about the sort of process in terms of qualification and pathway for an umpire, to hopefully follow in Neil's footsteps or to wherever they feel is the right level for them. We will cover scoring as well. And we're also joined today by some of our national counties reps from Suffolk and Cambridgeshire and Cricket East. So this is obviously a collective support in terms of how we can support the game going through from this point. As mentioned, we have muted. We've tended to stick to these to being more like a podcast style in terms of an informative information session for half an hour. But Arfan Akram is on the chat box. So if you have got any questions, please feel free to add them into the chat box and we'll cover two or three of them at the end. And any other questions will be answered and then added to the slides that are added to the website going for future use. But as I say, we're very fortunate for Neil to give up his time. As you might have heard, he was supposed to be at Chelmsford this week umpiring, but he's kindly given his time up just to talk through his journey as an experience as an umpire and going through. So thanks very much, Neil. Over to you.
Thanks, Dan, and hello, everybody. It would be nice to be outside, but here I am stuck in my lounge speaking about umpiring rather than actually out in the middle doing something. So my interest in umpiring started when I was still playing, and at the level I was playing at the time, we didn't have any umpires, so the players had to do their 30 minutes, their 10 over stints. And I loved it. I loved being out and being involved to the point where I would actually tell the captain, leave me out there, I'll do another half hour. So it probably affected where I ended up in the batting order, to be honest. But I loved being involved and out in the middle. And so I decided at a young age to give up playing and concentrate on umpiring. Lots of people thought that was the wrong decision. A lot of advice about you need to play as long as you can, but I made that decision to pack up playing at an early age, and it's the best decision I ever made, much better than any decision I've made on a cricket field. It's led me to umpire all over the world. And in England, I've umpired on all the test grounds. I would never have got that opportunity as a player. So my journey really took me from umpiring Colts cricket on a Sunday morning, to men's second, third 11 stuff, progressing to first 11 men's matches. And then in 1992, I think it was, when the Essex League decided to form an umpires panel, I was involved with that from the start. From there, it's umpiring Essex under-19s, Essex Academy matches. And then fortunately, I was fortunate enough to get onto, at the time, the Essex second 11 umpires list. Things have changed slightly now, and those appointments are done centrally by the ECB. But at the time, when I was coming through, they were still done by the county. So I got onto the Essex second 11 list. And suddenly you're umpiring county second 11 championship matches and that sort of thing. The next step up for me was minor county cricket. Now that's now what is now called the national counties. And I got on that in 1996. And in 2000 was appointed to the ECB reserve list. 6 years on that. And then I got promoted to the full first-class umpires list for the 2006 season. So this would have been my 15th year on the full umpires list. I've been very lucky to reach this level, but it proves it can be done and you don't have to be an ex-county cricketer to progress. I'm very lucky. I watch the best bowlers and the best batsmen in the world from the best seat in the house. I've umpired at Lord's in front of 28,000 people, the Roses 2020 matches at both Headingley and Old Trafford, And in 2018, I umpired the Kia Super League final. There have been some of the highlights so far. There's an extra one last year. I was third umpire at Taunton for that very nerve-wracking 4 days at the end of September when Essex won the championship. Umpiring, as I said earlier, that's given me the opportunity to go all over the world. I've been to Australia and the West Indies with the Club Cricket Conference, and then Mozambique, Uganda, and earlier this year, Argentina with the MCC. All these trips were unbelievable and memories to last forever. I do hope that my 8 games in January in Buenos Aires won't be the only time I'm on a cricket field this summer. Of course, they're the highs, and there are also some lows. You can't get every decision correct. We try to, but we don't get things wrong on purpose. When you know you've got something wrong, you need to be able to park that very quickly because the next ball is the most important. Never even things up by making another poor decision. And then at the end of the day's play, you can think about the mistake and how you can learn from it. More and more clubs are now streaming their matches, which enables umpires to be able to look at some footage after the game and identify possibly where things have gone wrong. The higher you progress, this may lead to games eventually live on the telly. And to be honest, you quickly forget that the cameras are there and you're just out in the middle, it's another game. But it's always a great relief when you come off at the end and everything's gone well. My one thought about being live on the telly though is try to stay on your feet, as falling over on live TV can be a touch embarrassing. Umpiring at the level I do, well, as I said, there are more highs and lows, and the players will appreciate having you there as it makes their games more enjoyable. And I've been very lucky. I've been out on the field with some of the superstars of the world, Shane Warne, Murali, Steve Waugh, Brian Lara, Coley. But the one I missed was Tendulkar. Whenever I umpired India, he was always rested for a county game, which was a shame. It would have been great to have watched him bat from 22 yards away. And of course, there's all the England players and the England women's players that I've been lucky enough to be on the field with. Of course, it's also great, my first-class colleagues to umpire with. I was very lucky early in my career to stand with people like David Shepherd, Nigel Plews, Peter Willey. And of the current umpires, I stood at Colchester, actually, in Michael Gough's first ever championship game. When I got promoted to the full list, there were 4 of us who got promoted. Rob Bailey, Richard Illingworth, Richard Kettleborough and myself. They've all gone on to do some very, very big games. And I'm quite proud of the fact that I was the only southerner at Richard Kettleborough's wedding. Another one that's great to stand with is Ian Gould. And he's just had a book published. And I was very surprised to get a mention. And even more gobsmacked at what he wrote about me. So the man's an absolute legend. The group of first-class umpires were a close group. And this though, I think, extends to all levels of umpiring. Umpires are normally very supportive of each other and are always happy to help each other if things are not going quite so well. So finally, I'd like to encourage anyone to get into umpiring. You don't all have to want to umpire professional cricket. Just doing the local third 11 can be just as rewarding for you and for the players. And I look forward to seeing as many of you as possible out in the middle soon. Thank you very much. All yours, Dan.
Thank you for that, Neil. And as mentioned, we will have some questions at the end. But feel free to put them into the chat box and our fan can pick them up at the end. But what I'd like to do now is move on to Paul Bryce, who can follow up from Neil and sort of give you an outline of what the current ECB and ACO pathway is for umpires going through. Obviously, some of you are fellow colleagues of Neil as umpires already, and some of you might be within your clubs looking at how you support people or interested going on that pathway. So I'll pass over to Paul.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Well, sorry, good afternoon, everybody. What I'm going to run through very briefly is as Dan said, the pathway of what's opportunities of courses leading you on to physically umpiring on the field of play. Whilst we're in lockdown, it's probably a great opportunity for anybody who's literally just starting out or anybody that's been playing cricket for donkey's years and don't know the laws of the game. The MCC have an e-learning platform, which you can all register for, you can all run through, and you get a little certificate at the end to say that you've gone through the laws of cricket. There are plenty of people around that could actually help you out if you are unsure of any of the information coming through. Leading on to the ACO courses, we have five immediate courses available at the moment. The basics of umpiring, which is the first step onto the field of play, gives you the very, very basics, the minimum amount of what you really need to know when you step on to do your half an hour of umpiring at club level. This is actually an online course, and it's actually detailed a 5 to 10 over course. So you can go on to the ECB ACO website and find out, just click in and register for the basic umpiring course. The ECB have been monitoring the number of people enrolling during the lockdown. And this morning I had received an email to say that over the country, over 1,000 people have actually hit this course to run through during our lockdown period. So again, it's a great opportunity, but the laws is the first thing you need to look at. Moving on to the introductory course, which ironically, when we had the club day at Chelmsford, we actually had nearly 30 people interested in running that. We had two courses already arranged, and unfortunately the coronavirus has put the postponement on those, but we'll resurrect them later on. The introductory course is between a 2 and 4 hour course, which means it can be done in one day, and it will go through again basic laws, LBW, we won't cover that in that time, but it will go through the basics of LBW, the no ball law and so on, what we call the important laws to know before you actually start out. So that one's 2 to 4 hours. Having completed that, you now move on to the real nitty-gritty of stages 1, 2 and 3. Stage 1, again, that's an online course which has been placed online very recently, and over 2,500 people have actually registered to do that course nationwide, which is very encouraging. Stage 1 is a basic recreational, so that will get you into running or umpiring a complete match rather than just a half an hour session. If you want to aspire to be on one of our league panels, you need to get through to stage 2. Stages 1 and 2 are very similar, and my view is they should actually be amalgamated because there's a lot of overlap between the two. When you go through, for example, LBW, you go halfway through it on stage 1 and then finish it off on stage 2. It'd be much more sensible to run the entire piece together. But stage 2, again, it's a course which currently can't be run online, but it's actually a face-to-face course, and the candidate will do 90% of the work. Once you've aspired to being on the league, you've probably done the panel for, let's say, two or three seasons successfully, you might aspire to go on the stage 3 course. Stage 3 will actually get you ready to umpire Premier level cricket. Doesn't mean to say you've been on the stage 3 and you will actually obtain appointments for the Premier League, but it does mean you'll be ready as far as the training's concerned. And once you reach the Premier level, it will be like umpiring at a very, very high level, because a number of our Essex cricketers have actually started at the Premier level, and some of them, when they retire, to actually play at the Premier level anyway. So it will be a very high standard of cricket for you to aspire to. One thing about umpiring, I would say you need to be patient, and I always use the phrase that you need your umpiring to do the talking rather than you to do the talking. Don't phone around chasing up, I'm ready for the Premier. You may be ready, but in terms of qualification, but you might not be ready on the field of play. So that needs to be a little bit patient there. So recently the ACO, well, sorry, probably more than recently, it's about 10 years ago, the ACO formed itself with the ECB. The ECB have got a very large say in how the ACO is organised now. And because of that, there's a lot of funding coming our way. And that can be only beneficial to umpires alone anyway. Moving on briefly to scoring. Now, online scoring at the moment is a basic scoring course, which again is over 1,000 people have registered to go on the basic scoring course. The introductory course will be just previous to that. Should be very interesting for scorers, and we at the County ACO are now looking to expand our scoring setup. And hopefully with discussions in the next week or so, we should have some better news on how our structure is going to be formed at County ACO level. That being the case, we hope to have a lot more trainers than we've had in the past, so that will have to be only beneficial. Going with scoring, you move on to what's called a club scorer course, which means you can actually, or you'll be qualified to score an entire match for a club, which will include league games and so forth. And after that, you have a level 1, 2, 3, which will progress you through the pathway of the level in which you're going to be scoring. Apart from the actual courses on scoring, you will have the opportunity to do CPD sessions on Duckworth Lewis Stern, linear scoring, and also the electronic scoring. The electronic scoring is extremely important because a lot of the stuff is done online now, as we all know. Makes life a lot easier for the scorers. It also makes life a lot easier for everybody else. So the records will be there for people to actually look at after the game. Batsmen will come up and be able to look at wagon wheels to see where their shots actually went, whether they meant it or not. That's where they ended up going. The sixes could go over any part of the ground, but they would then know in an instant. So statistics and cricket have always gone hand in hand, but now it's even more so with the electronic scoring systems available. So if anybody is interested in any online courses, as I say, go on the ECB ACO website. It'll be quite straightforward to get through there. If you have any questions, you'll get my name and contact at the end. You'll have contact names of other people as well, and we'd be more than willing to help you progress. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Paul. And again, like any questions, I know we've got a few in already for Neil that we'll go through the end. But just to wrap up, obviously within clubs, I know everyone here from clubs and setups, again, individuals, and it's a great opportunity now with the online courses. And I know certainly we've picked up, and as Paul mentioned with stats there, the people that are taking this time to go through those online courses and just upskill and get some a chance to get a better understanding and be able to help support the game and their clubs as well. But also, we have recently started to run what's sort of like a T10, sort of that idea of an umpire or scorer that just needs to cover 10 overs in a game, or a parent or a supporter. Certainly within our girls' programme, it's been quite popular, and obviously there's huge opportunities within women's cricket at the moment in terms of developing umpires and scorers as there is in the whole game. And we're able to run these as well, just at clubs or with a collection of clubs, where they're very short, a couple of hours, and we'll go over both umpiring and scoring, just giving the real basics and hopefully attracting interest for people to go on to then the further courses, as Paul mentioned, and become members of the ATO and keep supporting our great game as we go. And hopefully a few will only follow in Neil's footsteps, but also from a scoring point of view, those that know Tony Choate, who is the Essex scorer, he scored the World Cup final last year. Which is an amazing achievement and obviously an amazing day for everyone. But for him to be there and be able to score that is certainly a memory he won't forget. And also these T10s, we're certainly linking in with the new sort of Dynamos programme that's coming out and the young cricket officials, which will be linked into the ACO as a way of just sort of giving some real confidence to some of those sort of younger players who might want to start picking up and umpiring and scoring as well and helping the game to flow through. So, again, if you are interested in these, please contact either your ACO or the County Cricket Board, And we'll be able to sort of give you some more information around how we can put these together for you. Just on that note, and before we just go to the questions, there are the contacts. I know that so we've predominantly got Essex, but we've also got people from across the region. So it's important to know that your contacts are there available for you as well if you need to. And at just this point, I know I've got Rob on from Suffolk. So I don't know if you want to add anything, Rob, on top of what's been mentioned.
Thanks, Dan. No, just really to say, obviously, thanks as always to Essex for obviously allowing the other county boards to dial into this call. Interesting to obviously hear, you know, Neil's experiences as an umpire. I think some of us can all appreciate that at whatever level of game we've umpired. And really just to encourage to obviously look at the online sort of courses available and, you know, pass that message on, and hopefully we can get a few more people interested in umpiring and scoring.
Thanks, Rob. And Ben from Cambridgeshire.
Ben.
Okay. Again, same information. The contacts are all there for you if you need to get onto. So, Arfan, some questions that we can give over here. Got to leave a couple for Neil.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to start off with the first one for Mr. Bryce from Madusdan. Is it too late to be starting your umpiring career in the 40s?
My answer to that is not at all. There's a number of umpires that have started in their 40s. I look at it that you've got 20 years plus of umpiring ahead of you, and 20 years is a long time. So, no, get yourself enrolled on an introductory course. It's never too late. Even if you're 50, it's not too late. You can still manage, in my humble opinion, you can still manage to achieve a very high level of cricket if you're starting at 40 years of age.
No, brilliant. Thanks, Paul. Next one's for you, Neil, from Steve Ross. Ian Gould gave me advice that he needs to feel safe with his colleagues, both on and off the field. Something you would agree with and comment on, please. Stay safe.
Yes. As safe off the field is keeping him out of as many pubs as possible, I would imagine. But Gunner's fantastic to umpire with. You get a good rapport with colleagues, and when you find a colleague that you really get on well with, then it makes the day go so much quicker. And you look after each other. You're in it together. But Gunner's one of the top blokes. And as I say, what he wrote in his book was very, very kind, I must admit. And a great surprise. But he's a top man. He's retired now as an elite umpire, so he was coming back to do county cricket this year full time. So it would have been great to have had a few games with him this year. Hopefully that might still happen later in the year. Who knows?
Ah, brilliant. Cheers, Neil. Paul, I'm going to throw this one over to you just to mix it a bit from Paul Connolly. As a level one scorer, I was due to start my level two prior to lockdown. Are there likely to be any level two scorer courses in the Essex? In Essex, as I had to register for a level two course in Surrey and did my CPD courses in Harpenden and Surrey.
Okay, well, one of the embarrassments in Essex is the lack of scoring courses, which I hope will be rectified fairly soon. We have plans to change that. As far as a level two scoring course is concerned, the next one will probably be in the autumn rather than during the season. So it'd probably be October, November rather than during the season.
Thanks, Paul. The next one I think might even be for Tom Kilby. I think he's better positioned. From Mark Nuttall at Stanford Lee Hope. Regarding the 2020 season, in brackets, should it start? Will there be sufficient panel umpires to overall Snell first 11 matches?
Very doubtful.
Fair enough.
Because of the ages of a majority of our umpires, and I think Jonathan Glenn has already submitted to the league the ages of all the umpires on the panel. So the league are aware that there may be shortages should the season start.
And I'll probably just add to that, the Snell committee are discussing all the options and ways to ensure as and when if we start that there's a contingency in place. Neil, I've got a couple of set questions for you, if you don't mind.
Go on.
Just to wrap up, decision making is the first one. Obviously, as you rightfully alluded to, umpires do make mistakes. Do you try to talk to a player if you feel his facial expression thinks he's had a bad decision after the game?
It depends. Yes, it depends how he reacts. If he reacts very badly, then unfortunately he's going to be in disciplinary trouble. Whether it's the right decision or not, he's got to accept the decision and get off. However, if I know I've made a mistake, I will normally, and the player's walked off all right, you know, a bit, he's disappointed, but he's gone off not showing dissent or anything. I will normally try and see the player at some point when he's in the field, you know, if he runs past me and that sort of thing, when we've just got a quiet moment, just the two of us, and we'll hold my hands up and apologise. And 99 times out of 100, the player will accept it and say one of those things. You know, you don't want to be giving the same bloke out wrong too often, though, because then he definitely won't think much of you. But, you know, at county cricket, we're very lucky. It is a closed shop. We're all in it together. The umpires know the players well. The players know the umpires. So most 99% of the players you can go up to and say, sorry, I got that wrong, you know, and they're accept it quite gracefully. So that's what I would do. I wouldn't make a big deal with it, but just a quiet moment if you get a chance. That's how I do it anyway.
Brilliant. And just a final one, because I know we're getting close to our time. Concentration. Do you yourself have a switch-on, switch-off mechanism, or are you switched on for the whole 106 overs? Do you have a dealing?
There has to be downtime between balls. Just walk around sort of thing. Take a step back, then take a step forward into your mark and let's go again. At the end of the over, yeah, you are still concentrating and you're with it, but you can relax a bit more at square leg, as we know. You can't be switched on all the time. You know, you've got to have a little break between balls and then let's get back into it again. There are certain bowlers that make you concentrate more than others, let's put it like that. Simon Harmer, for example, at Essex. You know, what a superstar bowler he is, and you're there every ball with men round the bat, and that's hard work at times. And you've just got to hope you get lucky, to be honest, at times, and pick up those little inside edges. So yeah, you've got to keep concentrating, but you've got to have a little break between balls of just step back and then let's go again sort of thing.
Brilliant. One more. Madison sent another one. It's a pretty long one. I'm just going to sort of brief it, if you like. Obviously, players get excited. I think he used the word abuse, but let's just say push the umpires or others. He wants to know, how do you handle it in county international cricket? And do you have any recommendation on how you intervene when you intervene?
I think sometimes you get a sixth sense of what's going on. And you might be able to have a quiet word with a bowler or a captain before it develops, but sometimes it can come from nowhere, to be honest. And suddenly a bowler gets disappointed that you haven't given someone out, and it's the end of the world. You get the captain involved and get him to try and sort his player out. Of course, if he's gone too far, then he gets reported. And if it's gone really too far, then there's level threes and level fours, you know, depending on what he's done. But in county cricket, I'm very lucky that they're paid to play. And if they're getting reported and suspended, it's going to affect their livelihoods. So at the level I do, I'm very lucky we don't get too much dissent, let's say.
Fair enough. And a final question, personal question for me, Neil. Would you rather umpire Shane Warne for 50 overs or whitewater rafting in Leyland?
I'd have Shane Warne for 50 overs because he'd tell me whether it was in or out anyway.
Brilliant answer. Dan, back to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. And huge thanks to Neil for giving up his afternoon to sort of come on to you. I know those that have known Neil around the circuit, and he's a massive fan of club cricket and junior cricket for us, still doing all the appointments that he is. They're always able to answer and take time to talk cricket and support the fellow colleagues, whether on the playing field or on their journey to becoming an umpire and scoring. So thank you very much. And again, thank you for Paul for putting together the tie. And as Tom says, we are going to be in interesting times when we're able to get back out and activate playing. And one of the reasons for these webinars is to showcase that there is opportunities. And we can use this time to activate a few more people to get through the courses. And as we said, it was great with the numbers to hear that have started to sign up. So please share those links around to people. If a few players I'm sure you can think of that would benefit from going through those websites and those links as well. The more people we can have supporting the game, the better as we go forward. So thank you very much for today. The next webinar will be on Thursday at 5 o'clock, which is our marketing and commercial team just talking about and helping clubs in terms of how they might be able to support the communication and also to obviously bring in some, hopefully, some income for their clubs as well as we move forward. But thanks again, once again, to Neil and to Paul. And we'll get the rest of the questions and the webinar up as soon as possible. So thank you very much.
Thanks.